Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 7 down through verse 13. And David said, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Now turn, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 19, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 24 down through verse 27. "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, 'Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon, and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes.'" Our subject today is the perseverance of the saints, as it's set forth in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and also 2 Samuel chapter 19. Many today are confused and also confounded by the term perseverance of the saints. Satan has cleverly tricked the professing Christian world into thinking that once an individual rides for Christ or makes a commitment to him, then they are secure, even though they go on as before without any changes in their lives. Many are the funeral sermons which preach an unsaved individual into heaven because back there, somewhere in their life, they made a commitment to Christ. They haven't changed anything, but then they were classified as merely outside of the fellowship, but they're still saved. This is all a smokescreen of Satan, because the vast majority of these decisions and commitments are nothing but emotion and a moral soul force or suasion instead of a full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, there are many who teach and believe that unless the individual holds out to the end, or else gets saved all over again, or has a second work of grace, or something added to the Lord's salvation, he will not be saved in the end. Even some go so far as to say that they have to have what is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, resulting in the speaking of tongues, and then if they don't have that, well, they've not been truly converted. Oh, my friend, this again is the cleverness of Satan, our arch enemy. And my friend, this is wrong in the eyes of God. God has but one way to save a sinner, and God is the one that saves a sinner, and our Lord is the one that keeps the individual, because we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, in our lesson today, we shall set forth the truth of God, which teaches us that all of the elect of God shall be saved, not a one of them shall be lost. Lest you be confused, let me say it emphatically, positively, and absolutely, that once an individual is truly converted, that individual will persevere unto the end. As I've said before, we'll say again, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Also, the Lord Jesus said this in John chapter 6 and verse 39, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." If you are a saved person, you can never again be unborn, regardless of what anyone tries to tell you. My Lord is not a hypocrite. My Lord gives, and when he gives, he clearly brings it out. And he gives graciously, and he doesn't take it back. And my Lord very clearly says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles now, and let's view the man Mephibosheth in the light of the teaching of the perseverance of the saints. Take your Bibles now and go back to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and look with me, if you will. First of all, we see that Mephibosheth knew when he was delivered, as well as enjoying the benefits of his deliverance. Oh, now, Pastor, wait a minute. Let's look at this very carefully. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Look with me at verse 5, where it says, "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar." Now notice, here we see the change that takes place when our Lord saves an individual. As Mephibosheth was translated from the place of no pasture, because that's what the name Lodebar means, he was translated into the presence of the king and began to live with the king in the city of Jerusalem. So the individual, when our Lord saves us, we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son when our Lord finishes our redemption. And he does that instantaneously. Next, we see Mephibosheth living in the city of Jerusalem, feasting at the table of the king, as well as eating the food of the king. In like manner today, when our Lord redeems the sinner, the same thing takes place. The sinner is changed inside out and outside in, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We do not read of Mephibosheth going back to his old life, whatever. In like manner, no real believer is going to go back to feast on the old lusts that he used to feast upon. The reason is clear. He has a new heart given to him and a new spirit within him, which motivates him for the Lord and causes him to press on for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. However, no true Christian ever travels through this life apart from tribulation and persecution. In our modern-day religion, you would think you're joining a bandwagon. You'd think you were having a parade. Everything is all right, and everything is going to be perfect for you if you just trust Jesus and accept him as your Savior, and then everything will turn out fine. My friend, that's not the teaching of the Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, we read, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, we read again, "For unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Finally, in John 15:18 through 21, we read these words, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." These and many other scripture passages teach the fact that a true believer will suffer in this life as he seeks to serve his Lord. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. If you're not finding it difficult today to live for the Lord in these days of stress and strain, then my friend, you put it down. You're not living for him. God's people are finding it difficult to live for the Lord in these days of stress and strain. And if you're not having a difficult time, then put it down. You're not living for him. You see, these passages and many others teach that a true believer will suffer while living in this life as he seeks to serve his Lord. Now, as I said before, this is a far cry from the modern-day so-called evangelism, which makes everything rosy and easy. But, beloved, the Word of God does not know such a life. When my Lord calls us in salvation, we become soldiers and wrestlers, and our mode of life follows that pattern from then on. If you're not having a struggle living for Christ in these days, it's due to one thing. As I've said it before, I'll say it again. You're not living for him, and as a consequence, it makes one wonder if you have ever truly been converted. Now, Mephibosheth portrays for us what kind of persecution we can expect in these days. Now, hold your seat and pay close attention. Mephibosheth did not die a martyr's death. Now, let it put it down. But he suffered persecution. And in like manner, the majority of you will receive the same thing before you reach the portals of heaven if you are truly converted. Take your Bible now and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verses 1 through 3 where we read, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisin and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father." Now you get this very clearly. Here we see Ziba doing two things to Mephibosheth. First, he stole the food from him without permission. He took it without permission, and that was a thief. That made him a thief in the eyes of the Lord God of heaven. Secondly, we find also he slandered Mephibosheth by lying about him to David. In like manner, false professors will do the same thing to you when you least expect it. They'll steal from you if they can. Also, the falsehood will come from those who were the closest to you. Now, David suffered this because Mephibosheth was eating at the king's table as one of the king's sons, and Mephibosheth was close to David. David suffered this, Mephibosheth suffered this, my Lord suffered this, and so has your speaker, and so will you if you haven't had it previously. Many of you also know that what I'm talking about, don't you? And you know what a blow it is when it comes. However, the true saint of God, or servant of God, will not stop serving his Lord, but he will persevere unto the end, because inside him is a love for Christ that cannot be quenched, regardless of what may happen to the individual. You see, the believer has this fire. Come what may, sink or swim, live or die, I'm following the Lord, and I'm not turning back. Now, where do you stand, my radio friend? This comes because there is a love for Christ that cannot be quenched, regardless of what may happen to the individual. Are you one of those who have become offended because of tribulation and then have quit any kind of service for our God? If so, you need to read Matthew 13 and see the classification the Lord has put you in. Let's look at Mephibosheth again and see him in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verses 24 down through verse 27. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle my ass, that I may ride thereon, and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. Oh, do you see this, my radio friend? Here we see Mephibosheth tested by the king, in that David questioned his loyalty. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. Listen now, Mephibosheth was left alone in Jerusalem in the midst of the king's enemies, yet he remained true. Now, how did he remain true? Behavior marked him as a loyal servant of David, and there was no compromise. He had neither trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, or dressed his feet from the day that the king left until the day that the king came in Jerusalem once again. His behavior marked him as a loyal servant of David, and there was no compromise. When he saw David, Mephibosheth was made to feel as though the king was angry with him, but he still remained loyal and true. His testimony was, Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. In like manner, our Lord tests us today that the trial of our faith which is more precious than gold, might come forth after it's been tried in the fire. Now listen, my friend, there are some of you right now that feel like Mephibosheth did when he was in Jerusalem. You remain out there all alone in the midst of these religious and non-religious professors who know not the Lord. Neither do they understand or sympathize with you. Others try to get you to compromise your stand for God. But it's an impossibility, isn't it? Oh, my friend, keep on. The King is coming, and soon we shall be at His side to rejoice forevermore. Now you are being tested. Now you are being sifted. But if a person is truly converted, I'm going to tell you right now, we just can't go back because it's impossible. We can be killed, as it were, but we cannot compromise or turn our back on our gracious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, this is what the perseverance of the saints mean. And it's a far cry from the compromising, complacent, sin-condoning type of Christianity that is being practiced at an hour. Now, in these closing moments, you face this reality, if you will. Either the Lord Jesus Christ is the dearest person to your heart in this world and that to come, or you have been tricked by Satan. To know Christ is to love Him. And to love Him is to be loyal to Him in all facets of our life here on this earth. You see, my radio friend, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is when the Lord Jesus reaches down and saves you. And put it down. He means more to you if you're saved. He means more to you than your wife, your husband, your sons, your daughters, your relatives, your reputation, your job, your possessions. Christ is your all in all, and you'll be like Mephibosheth if you've been really and truly converted. This is what the perseverance of all the saints is all about. And my friend, I want to ask you a question. Do you know Christ at this hour? Or if you don't, my hope is that something has been said that the Lord will use to stir your heart and seek Him until you find Him. Because the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord to save you. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye. And all, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.